Hey everybody, it's Levi here in Tokyo, Japan. A real joy to be able to share with you today from God's Word. We're looking at chapter 9 of Isaiah, which is quite a complicated book in many ways. But actually today's message, I think is very simple. It can be summarized in one word. And yes, it is indeed the classic Sunday school answer. Today's passage is all about Jesus. So we're going to spend most of the time today just looking at who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and I hope together just really rejoicing in who he is, just gazing at him and wondering at him, and just once again having our hearts captured by his incredible beauty and glory and might. I think actually that is the whole thing that Isaiah wants us to do. That's why he's written this book. We see this because, for instance, from the very beginning, from chapter 1, in fact, basically the second verse of the book, Isaiah just starts hitting us constantly with all of these images, with all these kind of metaphors and similes and different ways of picturing who God is, who we are, what we've done, what he's going to do. So from the very beginning, God talks about his people as children who have rebelled against him. And then straight away, he talks about them as kind of animals who don't know who their master is. He then talks about them as being like a hut in a cucumber field. Makes you wonder whether we're going to go into an episode of VeggieTales, but he keeps moving. And there's all of these images again, like talking about people will be like an oak with fading leaves, like a garden without water. He uses this kind of imagery later on of someone kind of finding a person who happens to have a cloak and then deciding that that's enough for them to be a king, but then actually the only thing they have for them to be a king over is a pile of stones. Kind of all these weird, surprising, sometimes actually quite shocking images that he's using over and over again. And then we get at chapter 6 where Isaiah has this kind of image of the Lord, and he basically gets wrecked by God's glory and kind of then remade by God's grace. And he wants us to have that same experience. He's using all of these images, often kind of mixing his metaphors, to force us to really slow down, to stop and just look at who God is and gaze and be in awe of him. So that's what we're going to do today, looking at these first few verses from chapter 9. From verses 1 through 5, we really get kind of all these pictures of what salvation is. Pictures of what God is going to do and what God has done, in fact, for us. So for instance, in verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So darkness, the place where you are unsure and you are unsafe, from being brought from that, from darkness into light, into safety and security and happiness. Verse 3, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. You probably saw there that the idea of joy, rejoicing, happiness comes up over and over again. And there's these kind of two images. One is of people rejoicing at the harvest, when they've kind of brought in all of the fruit, all the food they need. Second one, warriors rejoicing when dividing the plunder, when the battle is over and they get to finally rest and enjoy everything that they were fighting for. Verse 4, as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. It's an image of being rescued from slavery into freedom. The bar across their shoulders, the yoke that burdened them has been broken. These people are now free. Verse 5, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. So it's now extending the kind of the war kind of metaphor. They're making a point that this isn't just like one battle that's been won and now they have to kind of keep fighting. But this is like an end to the war. This is now peace that's being made here. So from darkness to light, with rejoicing as that like a harvest or after a war has finished, people being saved, redeemed, pulled, rescued out of slavery into freedom. That's what God has done for us. And then verse 6 and 7 explains then not just about the salvation that God has worked, but the Saviour that he's done it through. Who is it? How is it that God has done this or will do this? Verse 6, and this is a very famous verse. End up saying it kind of most Christmas times, and there's songs we sing about it. But let's just look at this again and see what it is that God has given us in Jesus. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." God is going to bring about this rescue by providing a ruler. And what kind of ruler? He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's kind of four titles, four images used to describe the Lord Jesus, the Son who is given to us. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is wise. He gives guidance and help. He's a wise ruler, a counselor, a comforter. Mighty God. He is power and strength and awesome. We'll be able to defeat the enemies we have. Everlasting Father. Probably one that can trip us up, right? We can get confused by this because, well, he's meant to be the Son of God who was born, but calling him Father, so what's going on there? But actually, Jesus himself, when he was on earth, living and teaching, explained a bit about what this means. In John chapter 14, Jesus is talking with his disciples. He's been with them now for quite a while. They've seen him teaching and performing miracles. And he's talking to them. And then John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." But Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus reveals the character of God the Father so perfectly that he can say, if you have seen him, you've seen the Father. If you know Jesus, you know the Father, because he reveals the Father to us. We don't have time to look at this passage, but Luke 15, one of my favourite parts of the Bible. We often call it the parable of the prodigal or the lost son. Really, it's about the father who goes out to his sons. But in the context of Luke's gospel, it's about Jesus as the one who goes out to bring lost sons and daughters back into the father's house. Jesus is the one who does the will of the father, who accomplishes the mission of the father. And so in those ways, actually, it's really good and appropriate and true that he gets to be called Everlasting Father. He is one who shows God the Father to us and does the will of God the Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. Peace not just meaning like, you know, quiet, sort of time to rest, but this is the Hebrew word shalom. You might know it has the kind of sense of completeness, of fullness. It's kind of a blessedness. This is what the rescue, this is what Jesus is going to do for us. And he's not just kind of a counselor and revealing kind of God and the Father and just kind of bringing peace, but he is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the kind of the utmost, the extreme, the greatest of all those kind of things. Which is why in verse 7 then it goes on and it says, "Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time forth and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Not just talking about kind of the like time-wise, like it's going to go on forever, although it will, but that the greatness has no end. This is going to be the greatest, the best, the most amazing kingdom there's ever been, because the King, Lord Jesus, the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, he is going to be the greatest ruler, the greatest king there's ever been. And he is the one who we get to enjoy worshipping and being with forever. You know, when I was back in the UK about 2 years ago, kind of after being away for a few years, I forgot some things about kind of Yorkshire culture. One of the things I was reminded of one time about Christmas time, I remember we had a service in church, and then we went into the greenhouse, and someone brought me a plate with a slice of Christmas cake on it. But next to the cake was another slice. This was a big slab of cheese. And I was reminded at that time that one of the great kind of cultural gifts that Yorkshire has brought to the world is the idea that whenever you have Christmas cake, you need to have a slab of cheese to go with it, right? Like if you give a Yorkshireman just a plate with Christmas cake on it and no cheese, he's not going to be happy. He won't be satisfied. He'll be like, where is my cheese? And okay, now stay with me, but I think what Isaiah is teaching us today is that actually we can treat Jesus sometimes like Christmas cake. And we come to him and we're like, Jesus, it's great. We praise you. We're so thankful that you've given us salvation, that you've forgiven our sins. That's really amazing. But we kind of need these other things in order to really be content and satisfied, right? So, yes, God has given us his son. He's given us the Lord Jesus. But also we really want this relationship, or we really want this job. We want the security. We want, for instance, we maybe want COVID to be sorted out as soon as possible. And those are all good things to want and good things to pray towards. It's not bad to want kind of an end to the isolation and the turmoil that COVID has caused. It's not wrong to want to be in loving relationships, to want to have a secure and a satisfying and enjoyable job. It's not wrong to want other things. But the question really we have to ask ourselves is, are we content in Jesus? Do we realize that actually in Jesus, we don't just have the Christmas cake, but we also have the cheese as well. He is everything. He's everything we need. He is enough for us to be fully content and satisfied. Even amidst the pain, even amidst the suffering which many of us are going through, even amongst the isolation, all of the uncertainty, all of the hardships that COVID has caused us this year, and with all the uncertainty we have next year, Jesus is enough for us. We can be satisfied and content in him, and we should be satisfied and content in him. The writers of the New Testament kind of make this point many times. But for instance, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, talking about Jesus, it says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." And in Hebrews chapter 1, very beginning of the book of Hebrews, talking about Jesus again. "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus is everything. He's all we need. He is the one who provides us the counselor, the comforter. He's the one who gives us the Holy Spirit. He's the one who reveals God the Father to us perfectly. He is mighty. He's the one who's overcome our greatest enemies. That he did not just come to be born and live forever in a kind of a manger somewhere. But, you know, we know that he lived and he taught. And eventually he was crucified. He was killed. But God raised him from the dead. And so in Jesus, we have one who has defeated death and sin and Satan, that now we can rejoice with him. We know that Jesus is completely for us, and that if God was willing to give up his own son for us, he will provide all that we need. And we can be satisfied in Christ. So we're coming up to the end of 2020, moving into 2021. And I mean, who really knows what's going to happen next year? Maybe it'll be a great year. Maybe it won't be such a great year. Maybe it'll be even worse than this year for some of us. So I want to really just encourage you to take time this Christmas, take time to really dwell on who Jesus is, to find satisfaction in him, to encourage others to do the same, to share with people the things that you are thankful for about Jesus, whether it's his power or his gentleness, whether it's his patience or his wisdom, whatever it is, to share that with each other and encourage one another. But also, I think this is a good time for us to plan and think ahead about next year in terms of what are we going to do to strengthen our hearts and ensure that we keep being satisfied in Jesus. One thing I did a couple of years ago, I kind of realized that if you take Luke and Acts together, that's 52 chapters. So I just went really slowly through both those books, took one chapter every week, just read it through a few times, read it through slowly, took time to just really dwell on who Jesus is and what he's done for me. And it was really good for my heart, just really strengthened me and helped me to remain full of joy. So maybe you want to think about doing that next year. Maybe you want to look at something like Isaiah even and just go really slowly through it, looking at all these images, thinking on them, dwelling on them. There are many books and other resources on YouTube and places that can help you with that. I'm sure that Peter and others, the leaders will be really happy, that's what I want to say. They'll be really happy to help you work through questions you have. Because in working through the kind of hard passages and these weird images, we get to see more and more of who Jesus is and enjoy him more and more. But let's just make sure that this Christmas, that we really are satisfied in Jesus, knowing that he is the cake and he is the cheese and he is everything else we need. He is fully for us. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. I miss you all over here in Japan. I'm praying for you. God bless you. I will hopefully talk to some of you online in the coming weeks. But take care and have a great Christmas. Bye.